Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Hello, everyone. I hope all is well. What's up? And welcome back for another episode of the QB Factory Reboot brought to you by SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation. We are recording on Tuesday, September 21st. And on today's episode, we're going to be touching on the Eagles' disappointing loss to the 49ers in week two. They lost 17-11. So now the Eagles are 1-1. We're also going to touch on what we saw from Jalen Hurts. We're going to touch on a little bit of what we saw from Jimmy G. And we're going to preview what to expect when the Eagles go to Dallas for week three to prepare to play Dak Prescott and the Cowboys. So first things first. Don't forget to rate. Don't forget to leave a written review. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Follow us on all things social media. I'm your host, Rachel Prevett. I'm joined by the one and only amazing, legendary QB expert, Mark Schofield. What's up, Mark? How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Rachel. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Yeah, this is, we were talking before the show. This is one of those weeks where, gentle listeners, Rachel and I might spend the first 20 minutes of the show talking about anything but the Philadelphia Eagles, because let's be honest, it was a little rough. It was a little disappointed. Maybe it was a lot disappointed. So we're going to go in some different directions. I feel like we could spend the first 15 minutes having Rachel recap her Saturday, because according to her Instagram, she was at Hampton versus Howard. Big college football game. Yes. Vice president in the house.
Yes.
How was that?
It was amazing. You know, I had to shout out my alma mater, Hampton University, the real HU, you know. So this is such a historic rivalry for us, playing Howard, you know, battle of the real HU. It was such a fun game, you know, just going out to support, seeing a lot of, like, people from Hampton and, you know, other alum. Kamala Harris was out there, so she was repping Howard, of course. So it was just like a fun, friendly rivalry. Of course, Hampton University won the game, but if I have to be completely honest, Howard University's band won the battle of the, like, halftime show. Yeah. They came out, they did their thing. That's a huge deal for us. So it was good. It was extremely hot. The game was at Audi Field, so that was, like, a lot of fun. And the stadium was packed, so it was good vibes. It just felt like, it felt like a mini homecoming. You know, yeah, when you go to your school, it felt like a mini homecoming. Everybody was rocking their Hampton or Howard color, so it was good vibes, all around good vibes.
How is that stadium? Because I haven't been yet.
It is amazing. Like, it's actually really, really nice. That's where DC United plays. Yeah. Right across from the Nationals stadium, so it's really nice. They have, like, a little Heineke rooftop. Like a little sun rooftop, so that's pretty nice. But it's really new. I think it's only like 3 years old.
Yeah,
but it was really nice.
Fantastic. And to that end, I also saw something on your Instagram.
Yeah.
So I see you're doing a little project. I have gifts. A Winston-Salem State sticker. If you wanted some HBCU sticker, so we got Winston-Salem State. We got NCANT.
Okay.
The whole sheet of stickers for you, okay? Yes. And I want to shout out the late Craig Ray, one of my college football coaches. He unfortunately passed this summer. He was a coach at NCAAT for a time, so we love Ed. Ed. There it is. The Hampton sticker for you after the big weekend, the big win over Howard. So I'm going to get these to you. We'll figure out how we're going to get that. But I, like I said, I come bearing gifts today, Rachel.
We love gifts. That literally just made my day. Like, as Mark was just explaining, I have, like, stickers all over my laptop. And I feel like they represent me, you know? Like, I have a Georgetown sticker. I have a sneaker. I love collecting sneakers. So I have all these different sneakers. So I didn't have a Hampton University sticker. I was trying to find one, and I wanted more HBCU stickers. So that just made my day.
There we go. We got gifts. And I suppose, though, at some point we have to talk about this game.
We have to get into it. You got to do your song. Well, we got to do our song lyrics and our movie quotes.
I'm going movie quote. Yoda.
Okay.
I'm going Yoda. You can see over, I did it wrong there, but yes. Baby Yoda is over this shoulder. There's Baby Yoda right there. But this is a quote from the actual Yoda to Luke from The Last Jedi. Pass on what you have learned. Strength, mastery, but weakness, folly, failure also. Yes, failure most of all. The greatest teacher, failure is. That is my quote.
That's so spot on.
From Yoda.
From Yoda. Yoda. That's good. That's a good one.
And we get some failure to talk about, so I think it's appropriate.
I mean, I chose Tupac lyrics, keep your head up, pretty much.
Yeah.
Things are going to get easier. Keep your head up. Things are going to get brighter. I mean, first loss of the season. That's never fun.
No.
And it was a disappointing loss, something that we definitely could have won. We've heard so much about missed opportunities in these last few days, and that's exactly what it was. That was spot on. You know, we suffered an injury to BG, you know, Brandon Graham's ending injury to an Achilles tear. So that's very, very disappointing. But as John Stonis was talking about in one of the articles he wrote, you know, we have an inexperienced first-time head coach in Nick Sirianni, and we have Jalen Hurts, who was kind of like a rookie. This is his first full season starting. So there's going to be ups and downs. It's not going to be perfect, but we got to keep our head up. We got to keep moving forward. This isn't the end-all, be-all. We're preparing for week three against the Cowboys, which we should win. So that's all I got to say. That's the message. Keep your head up. It's not over. It's still early in the season. So,
yeah, what was your sort of like big picture takeaway from this? Because I've got mine, but I'm curious what yours was.
I would say my big picture takeaway is that, like we said, missed opportunities, but I was also confused on, like, going into this game, Nick Sirianni tried to switch things up to be cute. I kept seeing that, to be cute, all over social media. With the Philly, we saw the Philly special. That was like, you know, something he was trying. Okay, cool. But it was like, if you knew what worked well, especially using the tight ends, why did you switch things up? We didn't really see the tight ends get any action, you know, in week two. So that was my biggest thing. If it's broke, don't fix it. You knew what worked well week one. So why rear off and try things new?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of feel the same way. You mentioned, you know, a lot of the discussion has been missed opportunities and sort of being too cute. The first passing attempt of the game, it's almost like, you know, everybody spent, us included, we were talking last week about a lot of short passes, a lot of quick passes. People are going to wonder, is he going to be afraid to, like, throw deep downfield? What's the first passing play they dial up? Yeah. It's aggressive play action. Devonta Smith on the post route. You got Quez on a deep out route. It's like they read the tweets, like the kids say. They read the tweets, and they wanted to prove us all wrong. Mm-hmm. That was the first missed opportunity. And you could almost feel like the game went from there because Smith was open deep over the top. Quez Watkins was open deep on his out route. Jalen Hurts underthrew it. You know, he had some opportunities in the downfield passing game that he missed on, that he underthrew. And that's opened up a whole discussion now of, is his arm good enough?
Yeah.
Which is kind of frustrating because I think his arm is good enough. You had the deep shot, the like 90 yarder, like that was a bucket throw, deep shot, perfectly thrown. But now people are saying he doesn't have enough to sort of push the ball downfield into tighter windows. And then people are saying, well, he doesn't throw over the middle, right? They see the little spray chart. All the throws are like line of scrimmage and along the sideline, and there's nothing in the middle of the field. Mm-hmm. Quarterbacks can win that way. Like, show me a Russell Wilson spray chart, and I'll show you something that looks basically the exact same. But yeah, it's opened the door to some discussions about Dak. I mean, excuse me, Dak. That's what we get this week. About Jalen Hurts. On a week when it's Dallas week, which is never fun.
Never fun. And I feel like that's also good. Well, we're going to get into that. I don't even want to get into that yet. I have pulled two plays, one that was like what could have been and one that was that I saw that was really, really good. Both of them were really good on Jalen Hurts' behalf, but the one that could have been a touchdown, we saw Jalen Reagor, you know?
Yeah.
That was 10 seconds left in the first and 10, and he hit Jalen Reagor with a really deep pass for 36 yards. It was supposed to be a touchdown, but they called it back because Jalen Reagor stepped out of bounds prior to making the catch. Yeah. So that was a really nice throw on Jalen Hurts' behalf. I think like he hit him right on target. Like it was right on the money. That's flaw from the young wide receiver, you know? And it's, you know, this is his second season. You would think like, oh, certain things like that or mistakes that you shouldn't be making anymore, but
yeah. And you know, of course, then there's also the sequence, you know, after the big play where you get the first and goal from the one that ends up in the fourth down sort of Philly special type design, which is, like you said, that's what everybody's saying. Look, they're too cute. Mm-hmm. Brian Baldinger, he came out Monday morning and he was just like, I don't understand what they're trying to do here. And you do wonder if Sirianni sort of felt like he had to one up Kyle Shanahan. I hate to get sort of psychoanalytic here and try to be a psychologist, but it does feel that way, right?
Yeah. It feels that way. Because they did week one. So this was just like a lot of trickery.
Yeah. And you didn't need to do that. And I just said, look, the first and goal play from the one, you line up the heavy personnel, you go play action, you try to get Ertz on the corner route. Like, that's a nice little first and goal at the one. I liked that play call. Mm-hmm. It's more the fourth and three, trying to dial up a throwback to your quarterback. Like, there's better things you can do here. You know, there's better things you can do in that moment. Or you could just, I know some people have also said you just kick the field goal. I like the idea to go. It's the end of the half. You've got an opportunity to take a 10-point lead. I just think that was one of those too cute by half moments that it bit them.
Do you think, because I saw a lot of commentary on this, people were saying that he should have had the trust similar to like a Lamar Jackson, like Hurts should have ran it every single time. You know, like, what do you think about that?
No, I mean, I think there's something to be said for that too. I mean, I think there's something to be said for, look, you're going to show them that sort of outside zone look with Hurts having the option to keep that.
Yeah.
Now, maybe San Francisco was waiting for that. And you can see, I'm watching the replay right now. You've got Fred Warner, one of the game's best linebackers, sitting there waiting for that, for Hurts to keep and come vertically. So maybe they were sort of squatting on that.
Okay.
But then to throw back with a receiver, I know Greg Ward played quarterback in college. Like, I get it. If there's a guy you're going to call that play for, it's Greg Ward. But I think the flaw with it was the backside route from Jalen Reagor. He should have had the ability to then really break back with the flow of this.
Okay.
Because he comes straight across the field. I know you're trying to sell everything to clear out, but they stayed home on it. They covered Jalen Hurts, and now Ward's got nowhere else to go with the football, and he's got pressure at his face. Mm-hmm. I think Reagor has to have the ability to then break back and mirror that to give Ward a secondary option. But let's take a step back and think about what we're talking about here, Rachel. We're talking about building a secondary option for a quarterback turned receiver on fourth and three when his first option, your starting quarterback, is covered. Like, that's just a lot of moving parts. Like, it's just too cute by half. Like, that's my like final sort of call on it. It's just too cute.
The throw was way off. I'm like, maybe he was nervous. I don't know. It was just completely off.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, they did it. They did a very good job. San Francisco did it, sort of defending that play, at staying home on that. So, I mean, this is one of those moments where you might just have to tip your hat and say, look, defense played extremely well in this play. Like, nobody was fooled.
Yeah.
And then that's also an argument, right? Like, when you come out of this empty formation, then you bring backs in, bring the second back in, you show this, you're showing all this pre-snap movement. They're at that point, they're thinking something's coming, right?
Yeah.
You know, if you just lined up in that formation and run it, San Francisco might be thinking, okay, this is the outside zone quarterback keep. They're not going to expect this. You start showing all that eye candy, trying to get people confused. They start thinking, look, something's up.
Yeah. It just felt like a waste of a beautiful pass, like the 91-yard pass to Quez Watkins.
Yeah.
And then you guys aren't able to capitalize on it. So it just felt like a waste. Like, and I think that was, I don't know how many yards they finished with for the day, but that was like one of the biggest plays. And it just felt like it, yes, that was great, but it was a waste.
Yeah. It's just that whole concept of missed opportunities. I mean, that drive, when you have first and goal at the one and you come away without any points, that's a problem. And as a Patriots fan, I've seen a lot of those in recent years where you get that first and goal at the one and you feel like, man, they're just going to get three. Like, you can't get it into the end zone. This is an example of that. Again, I like the call on first down. Like, you show heavy run, play action there. I like that. The fourth and three call, I think, was just a mess.
Yeah. And, I mean, I respect that in the post-game presser, Nick Sirianni took all accountability, you know, on it. Like that was I was in the wrong, you know, some of the play calling. At least they know that. And I think the beauty of it is that this is only week two. It's so early in the season. You tried it, you know, maybe that'll determine how you move forward the next time, you know, to what you know, you know. I don't know. It's kind of like one of those examples where you were talking about, do you want to see them try to go for it and like be aggressive or be safe, like to take the safe route? So it's so early. We saw it, but now it's kind of like, all right, maybe that's a little too cute. Maybe
toned down a little bit. I know it's super easy for somebody like me to say, look, I love the aggressiveness here, but the play call is bad. But if you're going to make that decision, like, I just think you call a better play. Like you put the guys in a position to be successful. I mean, if you're trusting Jalen Hurts to be your starting quarterback, why are you taking the football out of his hands in that moment?
Yes.
Like, let him make the throw. And if he screws up, okay, we'll talk about what Jalen Hurts did wrong. But to take the football out of his hands in that moment, it just seemed like, and again, I'm playing shrink here and I shouldn't be doing that. Mm-hmm. But there was a say to Jalen Hurts. It's like, hi, it's fourth and goal at the three. We're going to make you play receiver now.
Yeah.
I don't know. We spent a lot of time on this, but yeah, I just didn't like it at all.
I mean, that was the biggest deal. So I felt like it was necessary to talk about it.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity, but giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prof G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday, and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
You touched on the 49ers defense. And if we're being completely honest, for the 49ers, I think they deserve MVP as a whole. Like the entire defense,
They
put it down. Like,
they played well. Their coverage in the secondary is great. Yes. Guys up front, they could get pressure. Fred Warner is fantastic. Because, you know, the corollary to your point there, Rachel, is you're certainly not handed MVP to Jimmy Garoppolo for that.
No, sorry.
No. Like, was he he wasn't good.
No.
No. He had like maybe two good throws in that game. The rest of the time he's like screen passes. He's hitting people in the back. Like, he's panicking. He's not a good quarterback at this point.
Yeah.
So yeah, the 49ers defense, you're exactly right. The 49ers defense played great. The coverage on the 4th-and-3 play, the coverage generally speaking, their ability to get pressure, to stop the run, get pressure with 4 or 5. That's a very good defense, which is probably why Shanahan's like, I could still run Jimmy Garoppolo out there. I don't have to go to Trey Lance, as much as Trey Lance is a better quarterback, I think, now.
They needed practice, but that's a whole nother discussion.
Yeah.
Like, really big plays, like the blocked field goal that was by like Kinlaw.
Yeah.
Kinlaw. And then it was like a pass breakup, Jimmy Ward.
He's a fantastic player. And then, yeah, I mean, Ward was great. Damien Lenore, the rookie corner they got, he played really well against Devonta Smith at times. He was in good position on a lot of those throws. Smith still got open. I mean, look, that first play of the game we talked about, he was open for a touchdown. That could have been six. And this game is completely different. If we're talking, you know, they're up 7-0 on your first offensive play, it's a completely different game. Yeah. But he missed that. Hurts had another throw, throw in the third quarter, like the 13:51 mark, where he had somebody open deep too. Again, it was Devonta Smith. He had him open a deep route on the right sideline, and he just kind of underthrew it. And these were the kinds of throws that I thought Jalen Hurts was at his best at, these sort of like deep bucket throws. He's open on a post route, underthrows it, tries to adjust to it. And that's a play where, look, they blitz, they get pressure, and might have been the pressure that was in Hurts' face that made him underthrow it. But, yeah, another missed opportunity. So credit to the 49ers defense, of course. But, yeah, this is one of those moments where I feel like we have to remind everybody, development is not linear. You know, talk about Jalen Hurts, man in his, you know, young man in his 20s. Think back to when you were in your 20s. Rachel, that's like right now for you. It's like decades ago for me. So I mean, it's a little bit harder for me to remember that.
Yeah.
But we weren't finished products when we're that age. You know, it's ups and downs, peaks and valleys. So it was depressing. It was disappointing. You wish they would have won this game. It's a game they could have won. But
yeah,
hopefully next week will be better.
Yes. Yes. And I did want to shout out two players who I thought did a great job on the Eagles defense. Javon Hargreave and Fletcher Cox.
Yeah. I mean, that's a tremendous – great calls there. Those two guys, so impressive up front. Mm-hmm. Like, so impressive up front.
Yeah.
And they're going to need them now with BG's injury.
Huge loss.
Yeah.
So
hate to see that.
Hate to see it. And so early in the season, it's just – you don't want to see it. So
no. But, I mean, look, he already said, look, he's going to be leading from the sidelines. He's going to be doing all the right things. Like, you hate to see a player like that go down. Of course, look, I have my own personal feelings about Brandon Graham, because I said before Super Bowl 52, my nightmare scenario was Brandon Graham kicked inside against Shaq Mason.
Yeah.
I was telling Kisten Solak that the entire week leading into the show, into the game. I'm like, that's my nightmare scenario.
Yeah.
And what do we see? Brandon Graham kicked inside against Shaq Mason to force a fumble. So my own mixed feelings about Brandon Graham aside, I can take my pride and put it to the side and say, look, he's a fantastic player, and we hate to see him injured.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting as we go into week three now, and this is a huge game, you know, the pressure, like, you know, the significance of this game because of the rivalry and playing away.
Yeah, and – look, Dak Prescott is a good quarterback. Dak Prescott is a very good quarterback. He had a bit of an iffy day against the Chargers.
Yeah.
No touchdowns, threw an interception. Maybe had a couple of opportunities of his own to make some big plays down in the red zone. He took a sack where he might have had an opportunity to throw a touchdown. Mm-hmm. He had a throw where maybe if you looked elsewhere, he might have had a touchdown. But he's a great football player. He's a great quarterback. He's one of my favorite quarterbacks to study. He's one of my favorite quarterbacks to track, like his growth and development, right? Because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, this is a fourth-round pick, player that you had some people saying when he was coming out of Mississippi State that he was bad, that he was like quarterback 15 in that draft class. He wasn't going to be any good. Of course, I'm talking about me. That's what I said about Dak Prescott. I missed wildly on Dak Prescott. It's one of my biggest L's in this entire draft evaluation process. He's been tremendous.
Yeah.
That's a very talented offense, too. I mean, good offensive line, incredible. Things Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, Ezekiel Elliott, Tony Pollard's playing well, Dalton Schultz. And that defense, it's not great, mm-hmm. but it's better.
Mm-hmm.
Although
Trayvon Diggs.
Nice young corner. They got Micah Parsons. They kicked him down to edge because they lost to, you know, DeMarcus Lawrence. This is gonna be a tough one.
It is. It's definitely gonna be a tough one. And they have Zach Martin is back.
Yep.
We
talked about Zach. Yeah, just a tremendous offensive lineman. This is going to be a tough one. This is one of those games, though, that like you're going to find out what this team's made of, of course. You're going to find out what this coaching staff is made of. Because not only are you coming off of a loss that you feel like you should have won, now you've got to get ready and get this turnaround to go on the road, division rival, huge game, with a chance to sort of stay atop the division.
Yeah.
Like, you've got to – this is one of those moments you'll find out this young coaching staff, like, can they motivate? Can they turn these guys around? Can they get them focused on this task at hand?
Yeah. And it's going to, I mean, it's a big game in the division because I think we know, like, some of the other teams aren't as much of contenders. So this is going to kind of give us an idea of, like, what we're working with in the division.
Yeah. It's like one of those measured stick games, right?
Yes.
Like, okay, if we're really better than people thought we were going in, you know, everybody's saying this is a bottom five roster, this is one where we got to win this game. Or even if you don't win it, it's like a 17-14, 21-20, like it comes down to the final play. Last thing you want to see is go down to Dallas and get blown out, drop to 1-2, and now there are serious questions.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to see that if you're an Eagles fan. Like, if you go into Dallas and win, fantastic. If you go into Dallas and you lose by two or something like that on the final play, you know, okay, you've learned something.
The vibe
can't get blown out.
If they go in and they lose this game, we thought this week was bad. You know, there was a lot of negativity from, like, fans.
Right.
If you lose week three, the vibes are completely shot.
Yeah, I mean, that's tough. Especially because, look, what are the games after that?
Yeah.
You know, you look, okay, you go down to Dallas, you lose.
Yes.
Now you get Patrick Mahomes coming to town. Yeah. Then you get the Carolina Panthers, who look to be a pretty good team right now. You've got Tampa Bay after that. You've got the Raiders after that, who are 2-0. Like, yeah, that's it. Yeah. I don't want to say like absolute must win, but you drop to 1-2 with those games coming up.
Yeah. Then it's kind of like that.
Yeah. I mean, that's a really tough stretch. And okay, look.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Well, Panthers in between that, but the Chiefs and the Bucks, we already know those two games.
Chiefs, Bucks, Raiders, you get a little bit of a break with the Lions. Look, the Lions look to be struggling, but then Chargers got a young quarterback. Justin Herbert's looking real good. Denver Broncos are 2-0. Jameis Winston and the Saints, I know they just lost, but yeah. And then you get that sort of double New York stretch, right? Giants, Jets, Washington, Giants again. Like, okay. November and December should be good. When I've got the Christmas decorations up in the background, Rachel, the shows are going to be a little bit happier, I think.
Yes.
But the Halloween decoration time, that's going to be a stressful couple of weeks.
Get the tissues ready.
Yeah. It's going to be rough.
That's rough, bro. That is really worry.
So, again, that's the importance of this game. Don't want to say it's a must win. Seems way too early to say it's a must win. We're not even in October yet.
Yeah.
But 2-1 going into that stretch, you feel a lot better. 1-2 going into that stretch, you're wondering, man, the wheels could come off.
Yes. It's like the momentum.
Yeah.
Keep it going.
Yeah.
So,
yikes.
It will be a test to see what type of leader Hurts is. Like, if he can rally his team, you know, that's a big part of his responsibility. And Nick Sirianni, you know, one loss, first loss. All right. How are we gonna respond to this?
And this is one of those moments where I think one of the sort of underlying things about Hurts that I think people, I don't want to say they missed on it during his draft process, but like didn't give enough weight to, was the leadership quality. And I talk about this a lot. Quarterback, it's a Monday morning to whistle kind of position, right? Like, obviously, the other positions, you've got to put the work in and things like that. But quarterback, the eyes are on you. You walk into the huddle, the eyes are on you. The eyes are on you started Monday morning. How are you turning the page from the last loss? Hurts was an incredible leader. You're talking about somebody that transfers to Oklahoma and is immediately a captain. Like, and we all saw the footage of him, his first game at Oklahoma. He wins. He's back in the weight room, lifted weights, still in his pads. Like, you're going to need that quality this week to get ready for this game, which, as we just outlined, kind of important.
Very important. Determining factor.
Determining factor for this week.
Yeah. I also noted the offensive coordinator, Kellen Moore. He did a really, really good job with his play calling.
Yeah.
I can only imagine what he's going to be scheming up for the Eagles.
Moore is a very good play caller. You know, we saw it week one. He did a lot with the sort of double stacks. You get the two stack slots to each side. They had that great touchdown to CeeDee Lamb where usually when you throw that little smoke screen, the front guy blocks, you throw it to the back guy, you're setting up that fake the screen, guy goes deep, right? And it's usually the front guy that fakes blocking and goes deep. They did it where front guy fakes blocking, goes inside, and it's Lamb they fake it to and goes deep, which is something that I've seen before more at the, like, the high school, college level. Can't remember. I'm sure it's been done, but you don't see a lot of NFL coordinators doing that. Moore is very good with, like, pre-snap movement, trying to get guys confused. They do a lot of at-the-snap movement where you're trying to react real-time as a defense where, oh, wait, everybody's moving now. What do I do? You know, and it's it's confusing. So he's a very good offensive play caller, very good offensive play designer. Of course, the flip side to that is Mike McCarthy, who at the end of that game against the Chargers had one of his classic clock management blunders that, thankfully for Dallas's sake, they actually won that game on the Zerline line field goal. But more like you said, Rachel, he's a fantastic play caller.
Yeah. This is going to be really interesting. Do you think Ezekiel Elliott, we saw from Tony Pollard in the running game, in his running game, but do you think Ezekiel Elliott is going to be like a problem for us?
I mean, you mentioned Hargraves, you mentioned, you know, Fletcher Cox. Like, this is a good run front. Mm-hmm. And what was interesting about Dallas in week one, a similarly good defensive front, right? Vita Vea, Ndamukong Suh, Buccaneers have some guys up front too. They basically said, hey, Ezekiel, we paid you the big contract. You're going to be blocking today. You're going to be pass blocking. We're going to throw it 58 times. Yep. You might see that again.
Okay.
Moore might say, look, you know, Ezekiel Elliott is a great talent, but I don't want to force the run against those guys. Like, think about it. Put yourself in Kellen Moore's shoes, right? You're putting together, Rachel, a game plan for this game. What are you worried about? The guys up front from the Eagles or the guys in the secondary?
The ones up front. We know that.
Yeah. So you're probably not going to, like, have Dak turn and run Ezekiel Elliott into those guys like 45 times a game. You'd rather throw against this secondary.
Yeah.
Especially when you've got, you know, Cooper, you've got Lamb, like, you've got guys to throw to. I think this might be a game where Prescott throws it 50 times.
Okay. You called it. Well, hopefully, you know.
Can't wait to be right about that one, kids.
Oh, no. You don't know. This is going to be an interesting. I'm excited for this game. Like, I'm actually really, really excited for this game.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be a big one. We've outlined why it's big. There are a ton of reasons why it's big. As far as, like, a prediction, I'm going to say it's close.
Okay.
I think Dallas wins it by, like, three.
Oh.
But I sitting here right now. And please, when I'm wrong about whatever, please yell at me about it. That's part of the gig. Also, before I forget, handshakes, friends.
Yeah, we need suggestions.
We need some handshakes. Recommendations for, especially for when I'm dropping these stickers off. Oh, a handshake or something.
Exactly. We need your help, guys. Come on.
Yeah. Gentle listeners, we're asking for help.
That's you guys' homework. That's the gentle listeners' homework.
It's time for the gentle listeners. Although we do have to give the gentle listeners some credit, as our friend Michael Kiss pointed out. Record week for BG Radio.
We're doing some really big things. We just started a new show. We have Odds and End Zones. Literally just kicked off last week. We got a huge interview. Seamus and Dawkins.
Yeah,
Ryan Dawkins. That was a huge interview. So we're really.
There was another big interview too.
Yes, we did have Jalen Hurts. We had
I'm not going to let you just ignore that, Rachel. You got to pat yourself on the back. Nobody's going to do it for you.
Yeah, and we have some other things in the works, so we're definitely, this is crunch time, so we appreciate you guys for tuning in and listening and supporting, because you really, you know, keep us going, and you guys motivate us to, you know, continue to be great, so huge thank you for you guys, you know, for listening. Don't forget to rate, leave a review, don't forget to subscribe to the YouTube channel, don't forget to follow us on social media, follow Mark on social media at Mark Schofield, follow me on social media at Rachel Monique.
I almost did that right. I'm so bad at that. I could never be like a weather person, right?
Why?
Like, oh, you stand in front of the green screen. It's like, here, it's going to be rainy in the Northwest. And you're like pointed at, you know, Boston. Like,
yes,
I could never do that.
It's hard. It is.
It's so hard. Like, I know there are some features like you can flip the like screen so it's easier. But yeah, I'm doing this all the time. It's so bad.
Yeah, I was completely off. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, so now we're going to prepare for the week three game against the Cowboys, both Eagles and Cowboys, 1-1 going into this game. So it's going to be an exciting game. So make sure you guys tune in. After the game, we will have the BGN Instant Reaction Show. Tune into that. But thank you guys for listening. Any last words, Mark?
Go Eagles.